privilege to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
I'm Sarah Womby. Military veterans will be given priority when boarding aircraft and will be acknowledged by in-flight announcements. News Corp Australia reports, following on from Prime Minister Scott Morrison's announcement of a military discount card for veterans, Virgin Australia says it will honour veterans by allowing them to board first and make public announcements about their presence on board. Firefighters are bracing for more hot and windy conditions with total fire bans in place across parts of New South Wales. While temperatures aren't forecast to be as high as they have been the last few days, the mercury is set to climb towards 40 degrees Celsius in parts of northern New South Wales today. Total fire bans are in place for the northwestern, northern slopes and New England regions, with very high danger warnings for the Monaro, Illawarra and southern ranges. While rain is forecast for the state's far west, firefighters are bracing for very dry and windy conditions for northern parts of New South Wales. Meantime, temperatures in Queensland are set to rise close to 40 degrees Celsius across parts of the southeast over the next few days. Ipswich is expecting 39 degrees. The Bureau of Meteorology spokesperson Bino Adan has told Macquarie it won't be as hot in Brisbane, but temperatures will be warmer than this time last year.
Looking at Brisbane itself, the warmest day in Brisbane in November 2017 was about 80 degrees. This year, this early in the month, we're looking at temperatures as high as 33, at least on the forecast.
A couple has had a rude awakening when a car crashed into their southeast Melbourne home in the early hours of the morning. It's alleged the car was being driven erratically when it lost control and crashed into the Seaford home about 1:30 this morning. The residents, a man and the woman aged in their 30s, escaped, but the house sustained extensive structural damage. The two males in the car attempted to flee but were stopped by neighbours. A 25-year-old man alleged to be the driver of the car suffered minor injuries. He's expected to be charged on summons with drink driving offences. His 22-year-old passenger is assisting police with their inquiries. An elaborate funeral has begun for the Thai billionaire and Leicester City owner Vijay Siwatana Prabha, who died last week when his helicopter crashed in a car park next to the English Premier League club stadium. The BBC's Jonathan Head has more.
The Buddhist rituals opening with a bathing ceremony for his body and continuing with nightly funeral chants by monks over the next 6 days will accumulate merit for the late owner of Leicester City. And the endorsement of these rituals by King Mahawachara Longhorn will confirm Mr. Wichai, a largely self-made businessman, as a member of a very select elite. The arrival of much of the Leicester City football team will bring home to Thais just how much affection and gratitude he earned in Britain for his commitment to the club.
Briefly, a German tourist has died during a storm in Italy in the latest death after a week of terrible weather. And two women killed by a gunman who burst into a yoga class at a US shopping centre have been named as a student and faculty member from Florida State University. This is Air News. A piece of Andy Keogh brilliance in either half has been enough for Perth Glory to claim a 2-1 A-League victory over Brisbane Roar at NIB Stadium. Keogh scored the first goal of the contest in the 15th minute last night before setting up the second in the 63rd minute that ensured Glory remained unbeaten under new coach Tony Popovich. Earlier, Melbourne Victory celebrated its first win of the season, beating Newcastle 1-0, and the Western Sydney Wanderers took down Wellington 3-0. Trained in England by Charlie Fellows and ridden by New Zealand jockey Michael Walker, Prince of Arran has won the Lexus Stakes, guaranteeing the horse's participation in Tuesday's Melbourne Cup at Flemington. Walker says he's a fun horse to ride.
Awesome horse to ride. You know, he's, I just plod on his neck. He doesn't pull. His only quickness is he doesn't jump out quick, and he's hard to get going. Once you get going and you get in a good spot, he just cruises the whole way.
The NBL leading Perth Wildcats have safeguarded their unbeaten home court record by pulling clear to a record comfortable 92-78 victory over the New Zealand Breakers. Meanwhile, Melbourne United continued its rise up the ladder with a comfortable 13-point victory against the Cairns Taipans last night. In the women's games, there were wins for Melbourne, Bendigo and Perth. And Gold Coaster Emily Roper has won the Women's Australian Open Criterium at Noosa. Australian Independent Radio News.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action. November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au. For non-stop action on and off the track, make tracks to Warren and District Jockey Club Sunday, November 11. The Cube Logistics Cotton Cup and the Tab Warren Jockey Club Sprint head an exciting 8-race program featuring over $185,000 in prize money. Everyone's a winner. There's fashions on the field for guys and gals, jumping castle for the kids, a soloist playing from 1 p.m. and more. Don't miss the Cube Logistics Cotton Cup at Warren, your race place, Sunday, November 11.
Extra brutal length and a quarter. He's brave, he's strong, he wins the derby.
Sadio Mane, and Leno couldn't keep it, and Milner crashed it home, and Liverpool snatched the lead.
Here's Bruce Kamau and on goal, a chance for Kamau to set himself up for a shot, or Bjørn-Johan to score. First only goal for Alexander Bjørn-Johan.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I know we are. I tell you what, I like to call this period of time, ladies and gentlemen, the days that Ray writes the paper, because it is Melbourne Cup time here. Well, it's here in Sydney, but it's down there in Melbourne. And our man, who, by the way, I don't know whether he's doing this because of, one, the outstanding performances across two states of the Royal Blue of Godolphin, or the fact that he's brave enough in Melbourne town to wear his Carlton Blues footy top, knowing that in Sydney he probably gets away with it because people don't know how rubbish they are, but certainly down in Bleak City, they know just how bad the Carlton Football Club is in what has been a 25-year rebuilding period. Good morning to you, the legendary racing editor of the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Raymond Thomas.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I'll take this shirt off as soon as I get back. That's your persona non grata in Melbourne if you're a Carlton supporter. But, yes, you're right. I am wearing it because of the Royal Blue. Didn't they have a day out at Flemington yesterday and at Rose Hill? Also had a winner at Newcastle, 6 in total. But, of course, at Flemington on the biggest stage, James Cummings really came to the fore with the Godolphin team with 3 winners. Rainier was terrific in the Carbine Club Stakes, wasn't he? He's a very promising horse. Osborne Bulls,
yeah,
franked that Everest form with its win in the TAB Stakes. And then the big one for the Godolphin team was their Group 1 win with Best of Days in the Kennedy Mile. And, of course, they've got a Villiers. James Cummings has a Villiers in the Melbourne Cup. Over 91,000 at Flemington yesterday, Jim. Magnificent spring day in Melbourne. The racing was
beautiful.
Outstanding. Yeah, and it's really set up now for the big one on the first Tuesday in November.
Well, he's drawn 23, Yucatan. Yeah. I know you've still got him on top, Raymond. He is still the favourite at tab.com.au, although has drifted a little. Now $4.60, yeah. Cross Counter at $9, Magic Circle at $9.50, Muntahar $11, Avilius, the only Aussie horse in the top 9 in the market, is a $13 hope, along with Best Solution. So we talked about the international raiders last week, the impact on betting, et cetera, Raymond, but I tell you what, they're making it hard for the punters this year.
They're dominating, aren't they, Jim? Yeah, no horses come out of gate 23 since Vanderham in 1976. But at the Barrage, well, last night I spoke to a few of the trainers and connections of the horses in the Cup, and something that David Hayes said struck me. I said, oh, look, the favourite's out in 23, and he said it probably won't matter. He raced pretty wide at Caulfield, and if you think back to that Herbert Powell win,
yeah,
which, Jimmy, that was pretty special. He was very wide throughout there. Look, he just might be a really, really good stayer, but it's a Melbourne Cup, and anything can happen.
The quotes of Nick Williams, who's the son of owner Lloyd Williams, not the trainer, the owner, said, you know, he doesn't care, and he's never had a horse look in better shape going to the races.
Yeah.
So that's a big statement for someone who's they've won six Melbourne Cups. I can only imagine, Ray, the electricity in that room when the draw is done. Can you give us an insight into that? Because, fortunes are won and lost on the back of back of those decisions.
Well, it was yesterday. It was a little bit different. For the first time, I've got to say, it was a great idea, provided the weather is kind. They actually had the Barrage draw in the mounting yard in front of the grandstand about an hour after the last race, which I thought was a terrific idea.
Saw that.
Normally have it in a room, the back of the course. It's sort of closed off. But this was a great idea, provided, of course, the weather is kind. And look, the Barrage draw is a Barrage draw, Jim. I suppose it's one of those things you can't control it, can you? But you just got to hope for the best. But there's that long run down the straight the first time, over 900 metres to the first turn. You can win and lose a Melbourne Cup in that run to the first turn. If you're 3 and 4 wide facing the breeze by the turn out of the straight, mate, rest assured, the rival jockeys aren't about to let you in, so you're in real trouble then. So you're generally speaking, you know where what you know, if you're on a chance to win the Cup by the turn out of the straight the first time. But then these Europeans, Jim, they don't go to our sort of normal racing pattern, do they? They like to be wide. They like to be out there on their own, rolling along. A horse like Muntahar could be 3 and 4 wide throughout. That's what they want to do. Yucatan was like that at Caulfield. So you throw the rule book out the window and you hope for the best, don't you?
Just on that Barrier draw, was it broadcast up on, say, Flinders Street Station or anything? You know, I'm trying to think of some of the great buildings down there in Melbourne, some dodgy warehouse out at Footscray. Did we get to any of that promotion of the Cup, Ray?
I've got to say, that's something I don't know, Jim, but I imagine that would have been the case. And, you know, I think everyone was tuning into the draw.
No, I mean broadcast as in on the sales of the Sydney Opera House, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Very, very good point, James. I might do some investigation.
But you know what the problem is? They don't have a nice building down there that you could put it on.
They had Winks on Flinders Street Station.
Yeah, that's as good as they got.
The night before. Well, it's as good as
seriously? It's a train station. That's as good as they got.
There's no outcry about that. But anyway, who do you like, Jim? Just while we're on the subject of Tuesday's big race.
Magic Circle and Yucatan are the two that I like, and they're first and third in the market. So, take that for what you will. I thought it was interesting. Kieran McAvoy got on cross counter, which was an interesting call from him. He's obviously very bullish about that. Second in the market at $9. We've got a big show today. Jim McGrath will help us go through some of these international raiders. Of course, he's now working at Godolphin, so a big day for him yesterday. We'll check in with the Sydney Kings. I watched that game on Friday, Raymond. You were probably busy working, but
I didn't watch it. It's three in a row now, isn't it?
Three on the trot. Don't worry. They were flogging them at half time, and well, they nearly didn't get run down in the final quarter, but they basically put the handbrake on. But Andrew Bogut, I don't know whether you saw some of the moves that he was playing. Like, he was dribbling balls behind his back and going up and dunking left-handed, and an outstanding game from him. Daniel Kickett is one of the stars of the NBL, and we're going to have him on just before training. They've got a big game Monday
night
down at Melbourne. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Go and play that Melbourne because of the they've got the public holiday the next day. Big Sydney Melbourne rivalry. So we'll speak to Daniel about that.
They had an A-League game down here last year, Jim, which had a decent crowd. But NBL, well done. They've got a really high profile game on Melbourne Cup Eve, Melbourne v Sydney.
Very progressive sport too. Andrew Bogut, a Melbourne boy. Even though he's playing for the Sydney Kings, so that will draw people through the gate as well. Zorba will have his thoughts in the world of rugby league. It's still running around everywhere. There's stories about who. Like, can they just do the swap now? Wayne Bennett and Anthony Seibold?
I was going to ask you, Jim, what are you hearing there? Surely that's going to happen before next season, won't it?
Well, you know, we have the situation where they're saying, oh, Bennett's trying to lure Merrin to the Rabbitohs, and that's going to continue. And all that,
12 months.
And whether it's speculation or not, whether it's well-founded or not, it doesn't matter. That's what's going to happen. Because they're now split in their focus. Yes, they want to do well for 2019, but they've got their eye on their future. Anthony Seibold's has signed a four-year deal. There's reports it's even longer than that. His future is it for 1 year at the South Sydney Rabbitohs or for 4 years at the Brisbane Broncos? That's pretty an obvious one on that.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No, nah, not at all.
I think both men would be happy to move, wouldn't they?
Well, the issue is the salaries for 2019. The issue is, well, hang on, Wayne's getting paid $1 million at the Broncos, and Anthony's getting paid a lot less than that at the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and so the Rabbitohs have put in their budgets, well, we're paying our coach, you know, half of what Wayne is expecting from the Broncos. So that's the sticking point at this stage, so we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. James Cummings will be on the program, so we've already talked about what a great day it was for the boys in blue yesterday. Five winners across Sydney and Melbourne. Josh Parr, four winners in Sydney. What a good jockey he is too.
Yeah, he did a great job, didn't he? Like some of the big boys, so to speak, were in Melbourne, and he got handed the reins. Two for Godolphin, one of them Roheeran. Wasn't he impressive?
Superstar.
Two at Rose Hill.
Yeah, superstar in the making. Event Cinemas quiz score update there, Raymond.
Did I win last week?
You did.
Yeah, so is that 25-18?
Correct, well done. Okay. Oh, well, what a surprise, Ray's all over
there,
it. Yes, yeah.
There.
Yeah, there you go. So
how
we'll do that.
How many weeks left, Jim? How many weeks left?
Look, all I know is my mathematics is not strong. However, I know with 52 weeks in the year, if I get to 26, I'm going to be hard to beat. All right? That's all I know. We've got a new competition today. It's a great prize, too, courtesy of the ATC. Mm. It is tickets for four people to the Grandview Room on Villiers Day at Royal Randwick, all courtesy of the ATC. And we'll tell you how. It's a mystery voice competition, Raymond.
Mm-hmm. Tickets for four, is it, Jim?
Tickets for four, that's correct.
Wow, what a great prize.
So you'll go, if you win today, if you're able to guess the mystery voice, you'll go into the draw to win these tickets for four. We'll announce that on the Sunday before Villiers. It's on the 15th of December.
How many Sundays is that before we get a winner?
Again, mathematics not strong. I think six. Mm-hmm.
So there'd be, if you win today, you've got a 1 in 6 chance of winning that prize.
Excellent work, Ray. All over this.
No, I'm just saying.
No, that's right.
Idea,
no, that's it.
So you know, if you win today, you're almost there. So
that's right. That's right. Stuart Clark will be along. It's the summer of cricket starts today. The first ODI against South Africa, who were soundly beaten during the course of the week. I was just looking at the Aaron Finch, Faf du Plessis photos before the game yesterday, being played at Optus Stadium over there in Perth. Mm-hmm. Is it just me, or does Faf look a little smug, knowing that he's been done twice for ball tampering and only was able to sit out one
wrist.
Match? Slap on the wrist. We talked about it last week. I tell you what, it blew up during the week, didn't it, Raymond?
Still polarising opinion, isn't it, Jim? There's that side of the debate which believes Smith and Bancroft and Warner should be allowed back in, and then there's others, very high profile ex-players and current players, who believe the ban should be enforced. It polarises debate.
It is. It's amazing. You put it out on social media and you get, I think, mostly in favour of them coming back, but I think there's a clear distinction between what people think of Steve Smith and what people think of David Warner.
Good point.
Yeah. So that's interesting to see that, how that plays out. Our legend of the game, I'm looking forward to this, Glenn Boss, the legendary jockey of Maccabi Diva, 3, 4 and 5. Just incredible, made history.
Three of the great cup rides, Jim. Jeez, if you watch the replay of those rides, everything just seemed to work out perfectly for him each and every time. You run those races again, it wouldn't happen that way, but they were just magnificent rides.
Is it 04 that's regarded as... which is the one that's regarded... Well, this is just the greatest Melbourne Cup ride you'll ever see. Is it 04?
A lot of people say 04. I reckon 05, because she had the big weight. She had the 58. He had to get it tactically just right, and he did. It was masterful stuff. But he's actually in Singapore. When I spoke to him on Friday, I think it was, Jim, he was more than happy to come on. So we'll be ringing him quite early over there, and... he's still a wonderful jockey, and I wish he was part of the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, because he brings so much colour and excitement to it, and he's got those three cups, just one off the all-time record, but he may not get another chance to equal that record.
Why doesn't he, Ray?
I guess you're out of sight, out of mind, aren't you? And if you're not here riding track work and here riding these horses in the lead-up races, it's difficult to sort of swoop in and get that ride. But when you're talking G Boss, you're talking a Hall of Fame, one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
And as I said, three of those Melbourne Cup rides go down in history as three of the greatest ever.
Three Melbourne Cups, three Cox Plates, two Golden Slippers, 81 Group 1s. Glenn Boss, our legend of the game today. The Mystery Voice Comp will be on then too. Tanya with her sports update. We'll talk football with Phil Moss. Trent Lanscale will be, is he there? Is he asleep
he's
on the
here?
Couch?
Poor guy, he was here all night again, working late. He's an absolute Trojan, Trent, I tell you.
He's saving an enormous amount of money on rent. He's of no
well, he's wasting it, whichever way you want to look at
he's
it.
Of no fixed address. He's of no fixed address at this point. 1353 53, that's the open line number. We've got our, by the way, I wanted to have my say too, Raymond, and I'll get your point on it. David Peaver, performance during the week from a chairman's point of view, the fact that he got himself re-elected before the review came out, before anyone had the chance to react to the review. It's just so second rate. To think that this is supposed to be an elite competition, an elite administration, and what they've done was they bumbled their way through that whole week, and then finally we come up with a decision where David Peaver loses his chairmanship, which I think is only appropriate.
Okay. Well, my question to you now, Jim, is when does the bloodletting stop, and will it stop? Because at the end of the day, we've got to get back to the cricket. We've got to get back to getting the nation behind our cricket team again, rather than talking about these outside influences, which have dominated discussions for months now, and it just seems our national sport remains in crisis, Jim.
James Sutherland has escaped any sort of besmirching of his name. It's a little bit the same with Darren Lehman. Don't worry, Steve Smith, David Warner and Cameron Bancroft haven't. Now Peaver's been damaged publicly. I think we just wait for Pat Howard to go and then we start again.
Yeah, bloodletting's got to stop though. Maybe, yeah, I know.
Well, Howard's got to go, mate. I know he's going, but...
Yeah, and so is James Sutherland, but...
Well, that's right. Well, Sutherland's gone, but it's just ridiculous, Raymond. 1353 53 is the open line number. Just before we go to our ad break, our talk topic for today, as I said, I was watching the Kings on Friday night. We can't underestimate what a superstar Andrew Bogut is. Number one draft pick and played 12 years in the NBA. And there he is after a Sydney Kings game. And I know he's a franchise owner and I know all that, you know. But there he is high-fiving fans. And I know it's easy to do with a basketball. High-fiving kids, high-fiving, stopping for selfies. And I thought, how good is this bloke? He just gets it. He has created an experience for those fans where they go, wow, guess what, Mum? Guess what, Dad? I got to high-five Andrew Bogut. Like, it's just fantastic. So, your touch with fame, your touch with sporting fame as a youngster. Roman, do you have a particular moment?
I do. Geez, a long time ago. I was actually in a Perth hospital after an operation, and a guy next to me, I can't remember now, but they were connected with the Perth Football Club,
right?
Australian rules team over there when I was a kid. This is back in 71 or 72, Jim. And a legendary player, not sure if you've ever heard of him, Barry Cable?
No.
Okay, great, great player. Sandover medalist, played for North Melbourne,
right,
won a premiership.
Right.
And anyway, he's one of the all-time greats for West Australian football. He came to visit this young fellow who's in a bed next to me, and my mum was there, and I just kept staring. I said, Mum, that's Barry Cable. I couldn't talk. I just had an operation for tonsillitis or something. He walked across, could see me staring at him, and he said, oh, how old's your son? And chat, sign an autograph, wish me the best of luck. Oh, mate, I was totally starstruck. I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, right.
The great Barry Cable made a point of coming across, saying hello, and then signing an autograph. So that's my little touch with fame, Jim.
There you go. Mine's Richard Hadley. The New Zealand cricket side played Riverina at Robertson Oval in Wagga Wagga, and it would have been early 80s. And Richard Hadley was my favourite player because he bowled right-handed and he batted left-handed. And I didn't care that everyone used to hate him, and the strut that he used to walk around the ground I used to love. And there they were walking off the bus, or I don't think they even came on a bus. They were just in cars walking in the gate. And I was there with my dad, and I said, Dad, there's Richard Hadley. I would have been 11 or 12. I ran over to him, probably rudely, thrust out my autograph book to him, and he signed my little brown autograph book, which I have to this day, and I thought it was the greatest day of my life. The legendary Richard Hadley signed my autograph book. So there you go. Your touch with fame. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 1353 53. It can be as a boy, as a girl, as a man, or as a woman, as an adult, whatever. You tell us. Doesn't have to be a childhood memory. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. It's the Melbourne Cup edition of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Experience glamorous spring carnival racing at Western Sydney's Jewel this Thursday.
It's Ladies Day on Oaks Day at Hawkesbury Race Club,
featuring the listed Lada Toyota Ladies Day Cup and the Sky Racing Provincial Series, plus live music, fashions on the field and great prizes. Catch the train and hop off at Clarendon, or parking is free. Entry only $15, free for ATC members, children, concession card holders and TAB Rewards members. Details and bookings at hawkesburyraceclub.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the TAB app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the TAB app today and stay ahead of the game. TAB. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Well, Jimmy, that was quite timely by panel operator Hamish. That's Mackay Diva's third cup, so looking forward to
there's
talking.
There's a change.
To, yeah. Poor Hamish, you're doing a good job. Looking forward to talking to Glenn Boss after 9 a.m.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
And
Jimmy, race replay time. Hey, look, Rose Hill, only smallish numbers in most of the fields yesterday.
Yes.
And I'll be really surprised if some of these horses don't go on to bigger and better things that won yesterday. Time to Rain for Gary Portelli was very good in the juvenile opener.
Morning, Gary.
Yep, Rohirrin outstanding.
Program.
He does. Rohirrin was outstanding in race two. News Fan and Cradle Mountain, both coming back off injuries, were brilliant in their returns. So I think there's some really strong form references. But I think
can I just pull you up there? Your tipping yesterday at Rose Hill, quite outstanding.
Oh, it had a few favourites, but anyway. But one of those horses that did win, thankfully, James, we'll move on,
yes,
I think could be a potential star. His name is Rohirrin.
Pinching ground on the inside as Ronstar giving chase, the 10 to the outside, and Rohirrin is the widest runner into the straight, 300 to run. Brasilica leads from Ronstar, the 10, and now Rohirrin's winding up on the outside. It's Brasilica in front, but being challenged now by Rohirrin, and Rohirrin shot away inside the 100 metres. Ronstar and Brasilica fighting out second and third, but the Lonro colt really extending clear. Very, very impressive. Rohirrin won it by 3 lengths to Ronstar. Brasilica third.
Rohirrin was impressive. The three-year-old, just a second start. What's been the issue there? And where to now, Raymond?
Yeah, look, just slightly raced. He's beautifully bred, Jimmy, by Lonro out of Mannington. That's Bint Masque's family, Romnea, Benicio. Bred to be a star, looks a star. Two starts, two wins. James Cummings said at Flemington yesterday, potentially could be a Guineas contender in the autumn. He's highly promising, isn't he? And whether he keeps going this spring, I doubt it, but certainly a horse to follow. Then down to News Fan, race number 7.
Yes.
At Rose Hill, coming back off an injury break. 7 starts now this mare, 4 wins, 3 seconds. Pretty smart.
It's Hysterical swinging in front by a half and Lead Me Astray. News fans peeling out than Extreme Bliss. Dawn Dawn gives away a big start. Hysterical at the 300 metres still in front from Lead Me Astray. But News Fan is winding up on the outside. Dawn Dawn's not a factor. It's News Fan at Lead Me Astray getting to Hysterical. But News Fan swept up on the outside. Stop the press. Here's four for Josh Parr. Big win, News Fan. Almost a dead heat second. News Lead Me Astray and Hysterical. Not much.
Nice, Darren. Stop the press on that one, News Fan. First run this preparation, the win there. Kim War trains, another listener to the program. Morning, Kim. What's Kim going to do with News Fan, Roman?
I haven't spoken to Kim since Friday. Her long-term plan potentially was to go to the provincial championships in the autumn. But, Jim, I wonder if this mare's even better than that. She might even up in stakes company this late spring, summer. She's very talented, and that was a really good win. Four wins for Josh Parr. We'll talk to him soon. He had a day out there at Rose Hill. Derby Day yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, Jim, 91,194 race fans on track at Flemington. The first of the group ones, there was one filly in the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Her name was Sunlight.
Onto the course proper at the 450, and it's written by in front. Charles hasn't moved. Three quarters Sunlight. Lean Mean Machine back to the inside. Then came Zusane out wider as they sprint up from Longleaf. Written by at the 250, joined by Sunlight. Lean Mean Machine the inside, and then Zusane. Written by Sunlight. Zusane coming at them. Sunlight the filly at the 50, just in front. Zusane coming at her. Sunlight the filly. She's a star. Sunlight beats Zusane. Lean Mean Machine all written by.
All right, if there was anyone happier at Flemington yesterday than, well, you, Ray Thomas, or indeed anyone involved in the win of Extra Brute, Darren Weir and John Allen, it would have been Anthony Thompson from Widden Stud, because Zoostar went 1-2-3 in the Coolmore. Incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And that was his first Group 1 win as a sire. Isn't a remarkable equine family tradition, Jim, because Sunlight wins the Coolmore Stud. Her sire, Zoostar, won it 5 years ago. Her grandsire, Northern Meteor, won it 10 years ago. And great-grandsire, Encosta de Lago, won it in 1996. So
she keeps
that tradition going. Hey, Jim, I reckon there's three more days of the Melbourne Cup Carnival to go, but I think this will be the ride of the carnival. James McDonald on Shillelagh.
Oh. Well, Hood is poised behind those horses, needing some luck from Invincible Gem, and then Seabrook, and next Bring Me Roses. Amphitrite's trying to get through the pack. Shamook Fundamentalist at the 250 with I Am A Star. Bella Martini. Hood's desperately trying to get a run. Seabrook, Shillelagh's weaving through too, right across the track. Fundamentalist with Shillelagh up on the inside, then Bella Martini. Shillelagh blew the whistle, drives through, and Shillelagh too good. Won it by a length and a quarter. Fundamentalist or Bring Me Roses.
Ray, where did Shillelagh come from?
Back last fence at top of the straight. I actually had something on Shillelagh. I thought, it can't win now. I need to get to the outside. Gee, it was a daring ride. And Chris Waller did make mention afterwards that he almost closed his eyes a couple of times because those gaps that James McDonald drove Shillelagh through were so small. But in the end, it was a soft win, Jim. She may back up next Saturday in the McKinnon Stakes. So
Right. Stay
tuned.
Okay.
If she pulls up well, there's a chance she could go to the next Group 1 on the final day of the carnival. The Victoria Derby Day, Extra Brute. Weren't there some amazing scenes after the race? Very powerful young stayer.
Here they come now. Farouk out deeper on the track with Finkenbeg, who presents to the middle of the track. Then Louis the Legend to the outside, Sikorsky. Extra Brute's running on now, and Arameo's tracking him across the track at the 300. Sikorsky goes to the lead, but here's Extra Brute. Extra Brute takes the lead from Sikorsky. Then Home Ground, Stars of Karam running on from Arameo. It's Extra Brute at the 150, needing to fight. Stars of Karam coming out after him. Extra Brute a length and a quarter. He's brave. He's strong. He wins the derby. Extra Brute from Stars of Karam. Two lengths Chapada third. Fourth Sikorsky. Followed by...
Yeah, he's brave. He's strong. He does win the derby. Am I right in saying, Raymond, that was Darren Weir's first runner in a derby?
Yeah, when he said that yesterday, I was staggered. I thought he must have had one sometimes over the year. But no, his very first ever Victoria Derby runner. Tremendous effort, because this horse was in his first prep too, Jim. So long term, he looks... You would think a potential Melbourne Cup horse next year. And what a story from the jockey, John Allen, who left his native island. He's some years ago. He couldn't get a ride as a jumps jockey over there, Jim. Ended up riding track work for Darren Weir. Started riding plenty of winners over the jumps. Now he's riding Group 1 winners on the flat, and he wins the Derby on Derby Day. Extraordinary effort. On to the other Group 1 of the day, Jim. It was the Kennedy Mile. Great training performance by James McCummings, putting the blinkers on best of days, switching him back in distance, landing the major.
Into the straight now, 400 metres to go. Tom Melbourne and Parast, the outside cliff's edge. Sir Coney on the rails. Further back is Hartnell, who presents to the middle with Lur Remain down the outside. Cliff's edge at the 250 with Lur Remain. Best of Days is weaving through, and now Land of Plenty descending. Lur Remain at the 100 from Best of Days. Peaceful State's getting through. Lur Remain and Best of Days. Best of Days drives at Lur Remain. Best of Days has won it from Lur Remain. Peaceful State for fourth. Land of Plenty.
Yeah, Best of Days the win there in the Kennedy Mile. That was the third winner on the day for the powerful Godolphin team. James Cummings there, Craig Williams on board. Lur Remain, I know you put him on
brave,
top.
He
would have been a nice winner at a price there too, Raymond.
$13. He was brave, wasn't he? Again, that Everest form was franked. He ran fourth just behind Osborne Bulls in the Everest.
Yep.
They both run well yesterday. And we'll see Red Zill next Saturday, Jim, in the VRC Sprint Classic.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we've got a break coming up. We've got lots of SMS coming in already, Roman. This one comes in from your good friend Warren Dooley. He says, what time's Jim McGrath on? And the answer is next.
Be first with all the latest on this year's great race.
And the field is set.
The Big Sports Breakfast crew has moved into the Sky Racing marquee at Flemington Racecourse to keep an eye on everything that moves in the lead up to the Melbourne Cup.
Stand by.
You'll hear from the trainers, the jockeys, the callers, the tipsters. We're leaving no stone unturned in our quest for the best. The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30 a.m. Monday through Wednesday, live from Flemington on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One.
And they're racing in the Melbourne Cup.
Behind for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. It's the one week of the year when the world can wait. Get your tickets at Ticketek.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action. November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Iwobi, Lacazette, Alisson is committed. Lacazette scores! That's a super goal.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Well, Jimmy, there's 10 Northern Hemisphere trained stayers in the Melbourne Cup. It's tough working out just how to line some of these horses up that haven't raced here. So, as we do in recent years, we go to the man who knows them best, our good friend Jim McGrath, who's on the line this morning, bright and early. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Jim.
Fantastic day yesterday, wasn't it, Jim? And sets it up for potentially another classic Melbourne Cup on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was an exciting day, as ever. That first day, I think it is the best day in Australian racing. There's no doubt about it. And in fact, one of the great days in world racing. And it was it didn't disappoint, did it? I mean, we saw some fantastic races. As far as the Melbourne Cup goes, of course, it was the last chance saloon for everybody in the Lexus. And the English-trained horse was able to get a berth in the big race.
Yeah, that's a Prince of Arran, and Prince of Arran is a $17 chance. Let's go through some of these internationals there, and we might as well go from the favourites down. Yucatan, we've got a bit of exposed form there. Cross Counter and Magic Circle, Jim. The top three in the market, what's your appraisal of those three?
Well, Yucatan has been a surprise for those following English form or European form, because he seemed to lose all form in the middle of the season. But there's no doubt that Aidan O'Brien had had Melbourne in mind for him. The Irish contingent, those behind the scene, are very, very happy with him. They can't really see him being beaten. And that was before the barrier draw, though. And, of course, Nick Williams turned up the cup, and what did he get? 23. So that wasn't too encouraging. But just the same, he's going particularly well, and I think we have to really treat him as a new horse, forget about his mid-season form, and go on some of his earlier form as a three-year-old, when he was right in contention for derbies and things like that. Just didn't quite make it, but he's nicely in, even with the penalty. He's very nicely in the race.
Jim, we often think Caulfield Cup's the best form, best solution, won the Caulfield Cup. No one's talking about this Godolphin stayer, Jim.
No, they've all gone off him. It's pretty strange. And, of course, he didn't get a penalty, which was fantastic, as far as Godolphin was concerned. I do think, Ray, he's weighted up to his best. You know, I think Greg Carpenter was very fair, because I don't think he would have had any possible chance with half a kilo or another kilo on his back. These days, anybody who's carrying over 57 in the Melbourne Cup is in a different league. It's like the old days, 30, 40 years ago, when they gave them 10 stone. And, you know, it's in that sort of bracket. And you've got to be that special super type of horse to be able to do it. I think he's a very good horse. I think he has all the attributes that you need for a Melbourne Cup winner. But I don't think, hand on heart, I don't think he's a super, super horse like a Galilee or one of in that league of yesteryear. I think he's a very decent horse, and I think he's improving. But I think the weight just might tell.
Magic Circle has form over 3,200 metres. If it can bring that form to Australia, we'll be well and truly in the race, Jim. The only downside to this is, and this is a concern for all Salford City Reds fans, is that Dr. Marwan Kukash has said that he will get into a G-string if the horse does win, which is a little bit of a concern for all.
It's a major concern for the whole Australia. He has, of course, threatened to do this before at Chester, which is his great love. He loves having winners at Chester, which is his local course. He has threatened to do this before. An army of security men have always prevented him from doing that, and I'm sure that the VRC will probably double that contingent of security men if they see him in any way loosen his top.
Oh, we've lost Jim there. I'm not sure what the problem is there. Well, we know what the problem with Dr. Marwan Kukash was.
he held court last night at the barrage.
Did he?
Say. Jimmy's a very colourful character, very personable bloke. He's quite engaging. And, look, he might just do this if Magic Circle wins the cup. He might just do what he's threatening to do, which would... Remember years ago, Jim, before our time, Gene Shrimpton wore a skirt that was above the knee to Flemington, and it caused all sorts of drama.
Quite famously, yes.
That'll be nothing compared to what might happen on Tuesday.
Yes, that's exactly right. Abilius Ray is the James Cumming, the local, that's best in the market at this point. And we'll speak to James a little bit later on in the program as well. $13 chance. Your thoughts, Glenn Schofield on board?
Yeah, terrific chance. Hopefully we'll get Jim McGrath back to get the latest from the Godolphin team. We'll also talk to James Cummings, as you said. He's had an ideal prep, hasn't he, Jim? He won the Bart Cummings two starts back, and Al Mandon won the Bart Cummings Melbourne Cup double a couple of years ago. His fourth in the Cox Plate. He couldn't sprint with a great mare, Winks, but it was a good pipe opener for the Melbourne Cup. He's right on track, Jim.
All right, well, we will get Jim McGrath's best. We'll get his top three and his roughie, and we'll put them out on social media. We're just having a little bit of trouble getting back in contact. I think we're ringing each other at the time. So, look, we'll go to callers right now, Raymond. Just before we do that, we've got a couple of people who've already put in their nominations for, their brush with fame from a sporting point of view. Jimmy and Ray had a part-time job on Saturday mornings delivering flowers when I was 17, and I had to look at my run sheet and saw the name Dawn Fraser. and was lucky enough to meet her when she answered the door. Great day. Cheers, John from Moorbank. There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one.
John Fraser.
Yeah. As a cheeky teenager, I played cards with Gavin Miller and Les Boyd. I was fortunately able to walk away unscathed. That's from Scooter. Well done, Scooter.
Two tough men there, Jim.
Absolutely. Two of the toughest. Absolutely. Ron's on the line. G'day, Ron.
Oh, g'day, Ray. Jimmy, how are you?
Really well,
morning,
Ronnie.
Ron.
Oh, it's that time of the year, isn't it, eh?
It's your man, Zach Purton, coming down to ride Finch, or Finchy, whatever it's called, on the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday.
Fish, anyway, it'll do me 13. No, you know, he got off Red Verdon long before it was scratched, you know, and he wasn't happy with the ride of it in the way it raced in the Caulfield Cup. So, no, Mr. Waller got him on board Fish,
yeah. I'll tell you what, Jim and Ron, there'll be no bigger horse in the Cup Ben Finchay or Finchie. He's a huge animal.
Okay.
His third in the Geelong Cup was really good. Now, when he gets to Flemington on a big track, he's by Frankel, raced by Frankel's owner, and also and amongst the ownership is Winx's owners as well, Peter and Paddy Ty, amongst others. And
got a few chicks there.
Yeah, he's a good each way chance, about $21 chance.
$26. $26 at tab.com.au.
Yeah, backed
it. Yeah, good on you, Ronnie.
Well done, Ron.
Good on you, Ronnie. Now, what do you got for us now? What do you got for us today, Ronnie? You there?
Today's subject.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, after 43 years working in the media, I've saw many, many famous sports people. But I must say, there was only 2 years ago, there was some bloke called Jimmy Smith came to Moree.
Oh, here we go. Sorry.
And I shook his hand and got a photo with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been a very exciting day for you, Ron.
That was unbelievable.
I'll tell you what would have been better. I'll tell you what would have been much better, meeting Tom Carter, Brad Haddon and Abby McCulloch, who were also there.
Mm. Abby was beautiful.
Yeah, fantastic. Great girl.
On the Cup?
Yep.
You know, we're saying, you know, about the invaders and all that.
Yes.
From a punting point of view, I've never really seen an easy Melbourne Cup. And I go back to 54, so that's, what, 62 years continuous. I've never missed one, either on the radio or the TV. And I remember the days when the Kiwis used to win it.
Yeah, that's a very good point too. Famously Kiwi. Was that 83?
83, it certainly was.
Yeah.
Great last of first efforts in Cup history. That.
Yeah, good on you, Ronnie. Keep those calls coming in. Steve's on the line. G'day, Steve.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Steve.
Pardon me. January 65, as a tender, I was on holidays up the entrance, past Oxford, you like not, and we went for our customary one drive a year, and we stumbled across a cricket match on an old airbed wicket out at 20 k out of Dungog, and there was a family playing cricket there, and there was about six or seven, maybe more, it would have been eight or ten, so yeah. Playing cricket. We joined in and played cricket with them. And you'd know who that would be.
Yeah. The great K.D. Walters.
Great K.D. Walters.
Yeah. So I've got a bit of footage on in about 10 minutes or so. Footage of the...
Wow.
My father got footage. And, yeah, we played cricket against the whole family. And it was a wonderful day.
What year are you talking there, Steve?
January 65.
January 1965. So how
young
old was
Dougie Walters? Yeah.
He would have been 17 or 16.
He would have been 20, about 11 months away from being 20.
Oh, okay. So he was playing for New South Wales, and he would have nearly played for Australia by then, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he played
68,
didn't
he?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. Dougie Walters, what a legend he is.
Oh, excellent. Well done, Steve. Well done. I remember Dougie Walters used to come out to Cootamundra and Young for the Tui's Cup matches. Remember those, Ray?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
They would have gone to Tamworth as well for the Tui's Cup matches and a couple of superstars in each side and then local players as well. What a thrill to be a local player and play in those games. Would have been unbelievable.
What a legend. And he was a great legend for us there, what, about a year ago, a year and a half ago now, Jim?
Oh, he's...
We had him on that Sunday morning. He was fantastic.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. He's a listener to the program too. He'll be upset that Jim McGrath's phone dropped out too because he was
We've had no luck there, Jim. We can't get him back.
Not at this point, Raymond. We've got EJ on the line though. G'day, EJ.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Really well.
Morning, EJ.
My brush of fame, actually, I didn't even know I had one at the time. I went to my cousin's wedding in 2004 and I was sitting beside an elder gentleman called Bill. Nice fellow. We got on really well. People just kept coming up and asking for his autograph and all the rest of it, huh? And I ended up asking him a few questions. It was actually Bill Brown from the Invincibles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, jeez.
And, like, I'm Irish and I didn't know much about cricket or anything like that. And he just blew me away. He was such a gentleman. And I had such a great afternoon, like, you know. It was just, yeah, I was very impressed with him.
It's
opening bat in that 40.
Yeah, opening bat. Yeah. Was he a Queenslander, Bill Brown? I think he was. He said he lived in Queensland.
I don't know for sure, but he was the last surviving member for a long time, wasn't he? One of the last surviving members of that team. And what a great player, and played a course with Don Bradman in his final Test series.
Neil Harvey.
One of the last surviving.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say.
Neil Harvey's still alive.
The news coming. You're breaking exclusive news
for
Sunday morning. So there you go. Bill Brown from Toowoomba. We believe Bill Brown from Toowoomba. So 1353 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here, Raymond. After the break, we're going to have a chat with Daniel Kickett, who's one of the superstars for the Sydney Kings.
For non-stop action on and off the track, make tracks to Warren and District Jockey Club Sunday, November 11. The Cube Logistics Cotton Cup and the Tab Warren Jockey Club Sprint head an exciting 8-race program featuring over $185,000 in prize money. Everyone's a winner. There's fashions on the field for guys and gals, jumping castle for the kids, a soloist playing from 1 p.m. and more. Don't miss the Cube Logistics Cotton Cup at Warren. Your race place, Sunday, November 11.
Warrawing Needy retired the fastest horse on the planet. A brilliant horse with blistering speed has left the gate in 25 twos, a time rarely heard of. Visit yirrabee.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Well, they're saying they're 5 minutes away, which, as we know, with American racing is about usually 12. But Churchill Downs, race 10, Raymond. Enable is the $1.55 favourite at tab.com.au for the Longines Breeders' Cup Turf race on a good over 2,400 metres. Enable, El Dottore on board there. So just letting listeners know that just about to jump. Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Raymond. Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
The Hawks really have dodged the bullet as well, as we see Bogut with his skills. Oh, my! Behind the back for the seventh footer. Bang, if you don't mind.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Big win for the Kings on Friday night. Continued their march up the NBL ladder. In the end, it was 7 points, but they were so dominant throughout the early part of the game. They got a big game tomorrow night down there in Melbourne as well. One of the stars of the team is Daniel Kickett, and he's been good enough to join us on the line just before training too, I believe. G'day, Daniel.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, really well. How's things going for you? A little bit of a tough start to the season, and with all the hype around a couple of notable inclusions in the squad this year, was there any little bit of doubt creeping into the squad at that point?
Nah, not at all. That was one thing we discussed, that everybody took those first two losses really well, and no one was at panic stations at all. We lost two pretty close games against a good team, and we took those losses to heart and worked on a few things over the last couple of weeks and improved, and now we're on three straight, so we're looking to continue that down in Melbourne.
Yeah, good morning, Daniel. Thanks for joining us. As you said, three on the bounce, but this is going to be a terrific clash tomorrow night in Melbourne. They look probably the team everyone thinks could be the main title contenders along with the Kings.
Yeah. I mean, they've got all the they've got a lot of returners from last year, and obviously there's a championship winning year for them, and they're obviously going to be there towards the end of the year. So that's obviously a team we're going to face you know, if we want to make something special this season, they're a team we're going to have to go through. So it's still early days now, so everyone's still working themselves out, and you know, the league's still trying to figure itself out. You know, who's at the top, who's sitting around the bottom. It's pretty evenly spread at the moment, but yeah, we're looking forward to have that test. You know, they match up well against us. We match up well against them. So it'll be a pretty exciting game, I imagine. So we're expecting a pretty hostile crowd and all that. But, you know, we fully expect if we show up with our best foot forward that we can walk away with a win.
Really interested to know what Andrew Gaze was saying to the team after the game on Friday night. You just so far in front, so dominant during that early part, and it probably got closer than it should have. I look at Andrew Gaze on the sideline. He's part coach, part legend of the game, part schoolboy fan. He's all rolled into one.
Yeah, I mean, he's passionate about the game. He's passionate about, you know, the product that, you know, he as a head coach he's putting out there. So he wants, you know, he wants it to go, you know, a certain way, as all coaches do, and obviously the players and that do. And he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's passionate about the game, and yeah, but he was happy with the win, obviously. I'm really happy with the win. Obviously, didn't finish it out like we should have, but that's also a bit of a trademark from Wollongong that they never really give up, and they keep going at you for 40 minutes, and they did that again the other night and chipped away at it. But yeah, luckily enough, we had a nice bit of a buffer there, and we made some big shots towards the end to kind of keep that score in our favour.
Daniel, we had Andrew Bogart on the show 3 weeks ago, and he said this team would take a fair while of the season to evolve and to gel. How is the team starting to come together now?
Yeah, really well. Yeah, everyone's coming together. It's a very new group of guys. There's a few returners from last year, but when you bring in, you know, six or seven new players, it's going to take time to adjust. You know, adjust to new offenses and all that stuff. But we're gelling together as a group. Really, really well, and I think we've seen that over the last few weeks. After those first two losses, it seems like that brought us closer together. That made us all understand that, you know, there's not going to be any, you know, there's a lot of hype coming from the media and from everywhere else. You know, we're this going to be this dominant team, but there's no easy games in the NBL, and you've seen that. If you just look at the ladder, the losses that some teams have had are completely unexpected. So it's one of those leagues where you have to, you know, take every game seriously. And and that's, I think, brought us all together in that understanding. And, you know, taking every game serious is sometimes, you know, it's a long season, and it's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes you think you can walk out there and get a win, but it doesn't work like that.
Daniel, your record is incredible across the European leagues, your college career, and, of course, what you were doing with Brisbane in the NBL previously. Finding your way in the locker room, and when you've got a big person, not only a great player, but a big personality in Andrew Bogart, does it take a while to sort of work out where you fit in and what your role, for want of a better term, is within the team and the club structure?
No, I'm one of the older vet guys, so I've never really had to worry about, you know, where I fit in. And, you know, Andrew gets a lot of, you know, a lot of people think that he's this big presence that just overshadows everybody, but it's not like that. I mean, team sports generally don't work like that.
Sure.
And that's not how it is. So Andrew comes in. He's obviously got his experience, and that's what he brings to the table. But everyone's got their opinion. And we work with a leadership group, and we encourage our young guys to be part of it. That decision-making process and all that kind of stuff. So it's an open locker room. It's open for discussion. Obviously, there are some of the older guys when it comes to decision-making time about certain things around the club. You know, they get final say, but it's a environment where everybody's got a say, and you know, that comes from top down and from bottom up as well. Like, we encourage that. Everyone's opinion matters, and that's, it's a great locker room feel.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I don't know whether you get the feel as a player, but I think the city is behind you. Well done thus far. We know there's a long way to go in this season. Good luck, especially tomorrow night and for the rest of the season, Daniel.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks very much.
Daniel Kickett, star of the Sydney Kings. Great to have him on the program. They're the outsiders on Monday night. $1.70 Melbourne United in that head-to-head clash, and $2.15 the Sydney Kings. The line there, +2.5 at tab.com.au. Time now, Raymond, for the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning to your wife. Remember her? Her name's Tanya. Good morning, Tanya.
I'm just sitting here looking at my husband on the screen down there. His eyes are hanging out of his head there. Get some sleep.
A long campaign.
It has. Started in August. Anyway, folks, racing in New South Wales today is at Goulburn and Muswellbrook. We'll start with Goulburn, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is true, the penetrometer 4.8, and there are 17 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Start at race 2, take out number 1, Bride in May, 6, Carruthers, and 7, Blue Fiasco, 1, 6, and 7. Race 3, number 5, Elcano, number 5. Out of race 4, number 4, Kadira, number 4. Race 5, number 1, Fabricator, 4, Round of Applause, 7, Nauticus, 9, Citizine, 11, Mr. Costigan, and 12, All the Wine, 1, 4, 7, 9, 11, and 12. Out of race 6, number 4, Sensacova, 11, Red Braids, and 12, Classic Conquest, 4, 11, and 12. And race 7, take out 2, Ruthless Agent, 4, Dylan's Diva, and 10, All in Rhythm, 2, 4, and 10 from race 7 at Goulburn. Muswellbrook, the weather is overcast, the track a soft 5, the rail true, and 18 scratchings. Race 1, number 14, Snip and Stare, and 15 Sushi, 14 and 15. Race 2, number 15, Can't Catch Her, 16 She Just Said It, 17 When You Wish, and 18 Snip and Stare, 15, 16, 17 and 18. Out of race 3, number 6, Zendaya, number 6. Race 4, number 5, Roy's Command, 8, Scatter Blast, and 11, Cadern, 5, 8, and 11. Out of race 5, number 6, Respun, and 13, Sweatball, 6 and 13. Race 6, number 6, Magic Majestic Padrill, Majestic Padrill out of race 6. And race 7, number 1, Ackerman, 3, I'm a Crumpet, 6, Kadar, 10, God I'm Hot, and 14, Terra Vet, 1, 3, 6, 10 and 14 from race 7 at Muswellbrook. Ray.
Thanks, Tan. Goulburn, race 1, number 1, Battle Fury. James, give us a bank for the day. Race 1, number 1, Battle Fury. And a little short, but at Muswellbrook, race 3, number 1, Crowd Surfer looks very hard to beat. So Goulburn, race 1, number 1, Battle Fury. Into Muswellbrook, race 3, number 1, Crowd Surfer.
For Chrissy Lees, that one, $1.75, the quote in the paper, and we'll put those out on social media as well. We've got to go to the news, Raymond, but after the news, we'll have Zorba, his thoughts on the world of rugby league. We'll also speak to James Cummings and Josh Parr after spectacular days yesterday, respectively.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Prime Minister Scott Morrison will announce funding for new water infrastructure for Townsville during his four-day trip to Queensland. The Sunday Mail reports that the federal government will provide $195 million to fund a second pipeline to the Burdekin River to ensure the town's water supply for the next 20 years. The town currently gets its water from the Ross River Dam, and this is supplemented during drought by water from the Burdekin River. The second pipeline has been recommended by a Townsville Water Security Task Force. A 72-year-old Australian nun who angered the Philippine president by joining anti-government protests has used her final hours in the country to call on Filipinos to fight human rights abuses. Sister Patricia Fox has been in the Philippines for 27 years but had to leave after her passport was confiscated. Her forced return to Australia comes after the nation's hardline president, Rodrigo Duterte, accused her of meddling in internal politics through involvement in human rights campaigns. Sister Patricia says she hopes to go back to the Philippines soon.
I mean, I feel very sad, especially when I see people and I think, when will I see them? It's a song, when will I see them again? So it's sad. But I'm also saying I'm not being deported. I'm actually going out under duress, but I'm not being deported.
A man has been arrested after another man was allegedly attacked with a broken bottle in northwest Sydney. Emergency services found a man aged in his 20s with wounds to his head and neck at a service station on Victoria Road in West Ryde late last night. A man aged in his 20s was arrested at the scene and inquiries are continuing. A baby humpback whale has been freed by rescuers off the Gold Coast after becoming trapped in shark netting. Kim Cartwright reports.
Rescue crews say it took about a half an hour to free the animal, which was spotted tangled in the burley head's net shortly after 5 a.m. yesterday. The calf's distressed mother was nearby. SeaWorld's Director of Marine Sciences, Trevor Long, who was one of the rescuers, says the whale suffered some superficial damage to its head but would recover in the wild. Critics of the shark nets say this, the second calf to be trapped in a month, highlights the risk of shark nets to marine populations. Kim Cartwright, Air News.
Overseas, South and North Korea have agreed to inform the International Olympic Committee of their plan to co-host the 2032 Summer Olympics. Bruce Harrison reports from Seoul.
Sport is one of the few areas in which North and South Korea have repeatedly cooperated. But Seoul and Pyongyang want more than unified sports teams. They want the Olympics on both sides of their shared border. Two countries have never jointly hosted the Olympics, summer or winter, and it's very unclear how that would work logistically. North Korea would likely need outside funding for infrastructure, but that could violate current international sanctions punishing the North for its nuclear weapons program. Earlier this year, IOC President Thomas Bach said the committee welcomes North and South Korea's intent to host the Games. But progress on a nuclear-free Korean peninsula, and not just Bach's blessing, may be the only way forward. I'm Bruce Harrison in Seoul.
And an Indonesian rescue diver has died in a search operation for a jet that crashed early this week near Jakarta. This is Air News. Melbourne's chief playmaker Cameron Munster will sign a lucrative new four-year deal to stay with the NRL powerhouse. The Courier Mail reports the out-of-contract 5/8 has agreed to the terms on a $3.6 million deal to extend his stay at the Storm until the end of the 2023 season. The 24-year-old Kangaroo and Queensland Maroon star will sign his new contract when he returns from an overseas holiday. An excellent final session on the opening day of the third round of the Sheffield Shield saw competition leader Victoria put itself in a good position against South Australia at the MCG. At stumps, Victoria was 72 without loss, with Travis Dean on 56 and Marcus Harris 16. And Queensland a 4 for 269 at stumps on day one of their Sheffield Shield clash with Western Australia in Brisbane. Melbourne United star Chris Goulding is in doubt for Monday night's NBL blockbuster against the Sydney Kings after struggling with a knee injury against the Cairns Taipans. Goulding played just 5 minutes and didn't register a stat in United's 98-85 win last night. China's Wang Qiong will play Australian Ash Barty in the final of the WTA Elite Trophy. And MotoGP champion Marc Marquez has been handed a sixth-place grid drop after securing his 80th career pole position, with Johann Zarco taking over the top spot after a rain-delayed qualifying session for the Malaysian Grand Prix. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Make entertaining these holidays even better with King Living. The King of Christmas sale is on now. For pre-Christmas delivery and up to 50% off selected furniture designs, visit King Living today. From Tempe to Sutherland, South West and Bestick streets are closed to the charity bike ride on today. In Chatswood, Nelson Street Bridge is closed permanently as of this weekend. And in Warunga, we've got changed traffic conditions on the M1 in both directions. They're having a 12-month trial of heavy vehicle lane restrictions. Make entertaining these holidays even better with King Living. The King for Christmas sale is on now. For pre-Christmas delivery and up to 50% off selected furniture designs, visit King Living today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On Monday at the Tab Cola Vicata Crown in Melbourne, a lucky bidder will walk away with a slice of Winks history. The saddle Hugh Bowman used for the Mighty Mayor's second Cox Plate win in 2016 will be auctioned at the event in the name of charity. Funds raised from the auction will go towards helping sick kids in the Northern Territory. It's expected this unique crocodile skin saddle will fetch a hefty price and help a wonderful cause. A big thank you to Hugh Bowman for his donation.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, access to detailed form, cutting-edge data, and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the TAB app today and stay ahead of the game. TAB. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Leave the everyday behind for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. It's the one week of the year when the world can wait. Get your tickets at Ticketek.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, light winds becoming north to northeasterly, 20 to 30 k's in the morning, then becoming light in the late evening. Heading for a top temperature in Sydney today of 24 degrees. James, what's the current temperature at Granville and the forecast for Goulburn?
All right. Well, I can tell you what the current temperature is in Melbourne. It's 13 degrees with an expected top of 23. And
you're
right
going
now,
near why? Because
well, right now at Musselbrook.
You're all over this stuff.
It's going to be a top of 32 degrees, partly cloudy.
No.
So there's been a little bit of communication breakdown there. However, Raymond, we're very confident that the next 2 hours will be much better.
Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Ray Thomas, of course, down there in Melbourne, as he is this time of year, and I think it's his third Sunday in a row down there, and he's got one more to go. So bear with us, ladies and gents, as we move through this run sheet. Speaking of Zorba very shortly, James Cummings and Josh Parr after exceptional days yesterday. Event Cinemas quiz score update.
25-18, James Smith.
Correct. Mystery voice comp tease as well. We're going to speak to Stuart Clark because we've got the first ODI of the season. We're looking forward to the South Africa up against Australia over there from the beautiful Optus Stadium in Perth. We are looking forward to it. What are our expectations of the summer of cricket? Just quickly, Raymond.
I'm the wrong person to ask, Jim, because I love it. But
I mean from a performance point of view from Australia.
I like Tim Payne as captain. I think he brings a lot to the side. Whether we've got enough batsmen to, you know, to do well in the tests is the key. Without Smith and Warner, we're very light on that top 60, aren't we?
Yes, he brings a lot to the table. If you could bring him
a couple of good batsmen,
that's right. A couple of blokes could score some runs. That might be very important as well. 1353-53 is the open line number. And our talk topic today is that a brush with fame. Your sporting brush with fame, and we've had some good nominations coming in already. We've had, I saw a nomination here from, it was the Canberra Raiders at a Video Easy store at Cowra. I remember meeting the entire Raiders team in the early 90s, Video Easy shop in Cowra. As a scrawny young teenager, these guys looked enormous, especially Meninga and Brent Todd. No name on that one, but yeah, that's a good nomination as well. I wonder what our next guest brush with fame was. He was a youngster and a sports lover growing up in the Illawarra and spending time at Goulburn as well. Peter Peters joins us on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Boy, I've been so lucky in my life. I would say having dinner in the Adelaide Hotel with Sir Donald Bradman, and
wow.
The reason why, because I was ghosting the column of the late, great Sid Barnes, who was the opening batsman on the 1948 tour of England under Bradman. So that was my entree to meet the great, great man, the world's greatest ever batsman. And one out of left field for me, I've always been a fan of the NFL and the San Francisco 49ers when they reigned supreme. They're a pretty ordinary side now. But I met at a press conference in Sydney. He was holidaying in Sydney and I was doing a league show on then Sky Channel. And he saw the show on when he was staying on an island off the Barrier Reef. And I met Joe Montana, the greatest quarterback probably of all time. And he was at the peak of his powers when I met him. And I ended up going on a tour of the Niners facility. So I've been lucky.
Just gives all the prize.
Righto, well, you win, Zorb. Bradman and Montana, you win. There you
go. Bad,
it's pretty good. I met Hulk Hogan once. That's about as good as it got for me. Bennett Seabold, with more speculation during the week. Oh, Bennett's trying to recruit these players for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Trent Merrin was the player in question. We talked about it last week. When do they move?
Oh, they've got to move. I mean, just when is I mean, Shane Richardson, the boss of South Sydney, is not in England for the weather. Seabold will turn up for work at Redfern on Wednesday. They start training again, but I doubt it'll be for long. As I said, Richardson in England, and he'll do his best to get Happy Joe happy to switch soon as he gets back from his international coaching duties with England. Now, Seabold may give the Brisbane Broncos what they've craved since the days of Kerrod Walters, and that's a running dummy half, not just any number nine, but New South Wales and Australia's best available in Damien Cook. And they haven't won a comp for 12 years. Cook is balking at South's offer. He loves the style of coaching that Seabold employs. He brought the best out in him, and the Broncos have a slow coach nine in terms of what Cook brings in Andrew McCulloch. This is just one intriguing possibility with the great off-season coaching changes that that we've gone through in the last week.
Zorb, if you're at either club, I know the players have to be professional and the clubs have to be professional, but it can't be ideal starting preparations for 2019 not knowing who potentially your coach will be.
Mm. Ray, it doesn't work in business and it doesn't work in sport.
No.
It's not going to happen. I mean, it's just a matter of... I mean, it was like the standoff at Manly. Des Hasler goes to work tomorrow. He was never going to go if Trent Barrett hadn't been there. And it had to be settled, and it has been.
Yeah. Okay. What's the outcome of that, just out of interest?
Oh, well, I understand there's been a payment made to Barrett that he's happy with, and he'll walk away.
Okay. Which was sort of what they were looking for, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, 2019 NRL squads were named this week, the initial 24-man squads.
Yes.
Don't forget that they've just named 24 at the moment. Some have named more. The next stage of the squad's 29-man roster has got to be by March 1 and the top 30 by June 30. So there's a lot of movement to come. There's a lot of marquee players now on the market since November the 1st, just a couple of them. Val Holmes, Luke Brook, Sean Johnson, Damien Cook, Dylan Napa, Dylan Walker, amongst others. There's some interesting names there.
From what I understand, the Newcastle Knights aren't done yet either. With Clemmer, they're expecting him to sign. Well, in fact, I think the deal's been done. Certainly been done a while ago. And they are still hunting some fish. They've got some space in the cap as well. So if you're a Knights
fan...
They
look good, don't they?
Yeah, if you're a Knights fan...
They're going to be the big improvers. I mean, Nathan Brown's done the hard yards there.
Yep.
And to Newcastle's credit, they're going to see how he goes with a top-notch roster now. And as you say, they're armed with backup dollars from Newcastle West Group, which, you know, people in the metropolitan area won't know the strength of that club, but they are a juggernaut. They are as rich as any of the top clubs, bar probably Bulldogs League Club, Para League Club. But they'd be right up there as the big clubs in New South Wales. Now, they've added Edric Lee, Jesse Ramian,
yes.
Mason Lino, good backup for Mitchell Pearce, and Tim Glasby. You throw in Big Clemmer, and they look, well, their top six look now. They'll look top four with Clemmer and give it a real shake. The Belmore Kennel looks, you know, getting him to leave there, they're going to look stronger by the day. Newcastle.
225 to make the eight, the Newcastle Knights at this point too.
That's grabbing money.
Yeah, I'm expecting another signing there, so maybe obviously do it responsibly, but have a look at that one. Mark Coyne has been announced as a new ARLC commissioner. I applaud the decision. What's your thoughts on it? Chris Sara leaving in February.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? And I think it's about time that we got some people that have got that unique mixture of mixing in big business and doing really well and having
a fantastic knowledge of our great game.
Yeah.
Now, he scored one of the greatest tries we've ever seen in rugby league, not just in origin history, but that try scored at the Sydney Football Stadium for Queensland in the right-hand corner. What would that be, the Paddo corner?
Yeah.
It was just one of the greatest tries I've ever seen and had the pleasure of calling. He played 222 games for the Dragons, but Mark Coyne's greatest moments for the game could come with his appointment now as an NRL commissioner. As you said, he moves onto the board. He brings that mix I spoke about. I understand he's been doing a lot of junior coaching with his son's team down in the Shire. He understands what's needed, changes to the game, and they look like they're coming now at that bottom level where the big kids, we've had a great influx of South Sea Island boys coming in their second and third and fourth generation now, and they're just getting bigger every year, and it's driving a lot of young kids out of the game. So I think Coyne will be great in that area. I think he's a possible boss of the commission, along with a couple of others there that are on the board at the moment. I just think it's exciting times for rugby league.
Mm.
So I reckon Cricket Australia could learn something from the Mark Coyne appointment.
Yeah, exactly. He's very calm too. He was always calm as a player. Didn't enter into a lot of controversy when he played. He just did his job and did it well. And I think he and Peter Vlandis will be the leaders on the NRL Commission. And boy, don't we need some acumen there.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, Cameron Munster's staying 4 years at the Melbourne Storm. I don't think that's a surprise. Sean Johnson is going. Could he land at the Roosters?
I think Cameron Munster, he was the most disappointing big-name player in the 2018 Grand Final. From the time I mentioned on this program that I thought he'd win the Clive Churchill medal, it was a kiss of death. he's inked a four-year deal with Melbourne. They need it. Their roster, and the rosters came out this week. I had a good look at Melbourne. I know they keep surprising us, but I think that dip that we've all been predicting will come. I think it's about time now, and I don't see them being top four next season. I'll probably be wrong because they keep proving everyone wrong in the game, but they look middle of the road, but they needed Munster to sign. But yeah, on Sean Johnson, I reckon you can smell it in the air, Sean Johnson to the Roosters in 2020. It's a ready-made replacement for Cooper Cronk, who want to hang the boots up then. Brilliant, really, when you think of it. Just what one now expects from the well-run premiers. They are the benchmark in rugby league on and off the field at the moment. The way they play, the way they handle their club, the way they handle their roster, bring them in, let them out. Sean Johnson, wow. You can imagine what he will do in that side.
Well, Luke Keary will be able to run the side. Sean Johnson can run, which is scary for opposition. Just before we let you go, mate, quickly, a Melbourne Cup tip.
I listen to the guru. I look at only two people I ever take notice of when I'm having a bet, Ray Thomas and Ron Duffacy. And I see he's tipping Yucatan. I've had a look at it. Gee, you think it's it looks lengths better than the rest of them, but it doesn't always work out that way.
No, Drew Barrier 23-2, $4.50 at tab.com.au, still the clear favourite for the race. Good on you, Zorb. Enjoy Tuesday. We'll speak next Sunday.
Okay, boys.
Peter Peters with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. Just before we go to a break, Jim McGrath has given us his Melbourne Cup tips. Raymond, we had the phone drop out previously, and I know there are a lot of people who want these. Cross counter on top, Marmelo second, and Avilius third. So there you go.
Cross counter, 51 kilos, Jim.
So 51 kilos for cross counter, so there you go. Cross counter, Marmelo and Avilius are Jim McGrath's 1, 2, 3 in this year's Melbourne Cup. We'll take a break. After the break, we've got James Cummings, Josh Parr, your calls on 1353 53.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are
are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website, www.wideline.com.au.
Experience glamorous spring carnival racing at Western Sydney's Jewel this Thursday.
It's Ladies' Day on Oaks Day at Hawkesbury Race Club.
Featuring the listed Lander Toyota Ladies' Day Cup and the Sky Racing Provincial Series, plus live music, fashions on the field and great prizes. Catch the train and hop off at Clarendon, or parking is free. Entry only $15. Free for ATC members, children, concession card holders and TAB Rewards members. Details and bookings at hawkesburyraceclub.com.au.
It's Brett Ogle here, standing in a Drummond Golf store, completely naked. Don't worry, madam, everything's fine. I'll be fully clothed in a minute, because only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in clubs, bags, buggies, accessories, shoes, and you'll be happy to hear, clothing. In fact, for the best range in golf gear, you really can't beat Drummond Golf. Ah, here come my new clothes now. See, madam, nothing to worry about. All I need now is some new balls.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Be rewarded at Panthers. With Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards, there's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
Siphon 100 metres out, a length and a half clear. Naval Warfare's running on. Reddick Siphon in front. The Naval Warfare basket time, and Reddick Siphon wins it. Reddick Siphon by a long neck.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, over in Churchill Downs, yeah. Naval has won the Breeders' Cup Turf, the first horse to win the ARC Breeders' Cup Turf double.
Good win,
had a
too,
bit of a battle,
yeah,
yeah, to beat Magical, who's an outstanding mare also from Europe. But what does that mean for Winx? You know, be interested to see how they rate that win and whether that puts a Naval up level and or above Winx at the end of the year.
Big questions there. Next guest is on the line here too, Roman. Tell you what, there were some questions around yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. He answered all of them with four wins.
Out.
Yeah, didn't he? Josh Parr's been good enough to join us online. G'day, Josh.
Good morning, lads. How you going?
Yeah, we're really well. Congratulations on that day yesterday. Given the fact, too, it nearly didn't happen for you, Josh.
Yeah, thank you very much for starters. But you are right. I was suspended Wednesday week ago at Warwick Farm, but successfully appealed that decision, and thanks to Paul O'Sullivan for representing me there, and we were successful, and I was able to ride yesterday, and then for the next coming 7 days.
Yeah, good morning, Josh. Congratulations. And can we start off with Roe here? And I mentioned to Jimmy earlier, I think there was three or four horses out of yesterday's meeting that punters can follow with confidence. You rode two of them. One of them was Roe Heron.
Yeah, my word, he was exceptional yesterday. He settled last in a small field. I mentioned post race, just when the speed come on, just prior to the home straight, he was found out slightly. Just his inexperience, he come off the bit and he just seemed to labour for a few strides, but soon after his ability kicked in and he rounded them up quite easily and ran away from them. In dominant style, he's a very promising colt.
Yeah, absolutely. The other, the next winner was Red Excitement. I think it was 658 days between wins for Red Excitement. Under pressure too during the course of this up the straight too, Josh. What's the key for Red Excitement?
Red Excitement just getting into a very comfortable, smooth racing pattern. So in the past, he's had a tendency to travel quite strongly. And if he has an interrupted run, it kills his momentum and just takes him far too long to rebuild again. So each time I've won on him, I've been able to have a trouble-free run, really smooth transition from a working gallop into a top speed, and then he just keeps chugging away after that. So chugging away might be a little bit less glamorous than what his record says. That might be a little bit harsh on him, but he's just an absolute gentleman of a horse to ride, and I really, along with a lot of people, have a soft spot for Red Excitement.
Yeah, he's a stable favourite, isn't he, at Gerald Ryan's, and he's been around for so long, hasn't he, Josh? He started off when you were telling me at Piero's Breeders' Plate way back in 2011, so and he's still going strong. New kid on the block, this mare, News Fan, lightly raced, very talented, Josh. Gee, I was taken by her effort first up, coming back from injury.
Yeah, I was too, Ray. She was very good yesterday at Rose Hill. I had slight concern pre-race when she got very hot in the enclosure, and her preliminary, she was really fresh, and I thought I was just a little bit concerned that she might have been slightly above herself first up, but those concerns were quickly vanished when we landed in the 1-1 position, and she travelled like an ultimate professional, and it was always going to be difficult to run the two leaders down because they had an absolute picnic in front, but the turn of foot that she possesses, she was very good yesterday.
Well, that was back-to-back winners for you after the win in race 6 on Schubert, which is another one of the Godolphin horses, and I want to ask you about the quote from Darren Beedman, the fact that not only is he obviously influential there at Godolphin, but a former legendary jockey as well, and he said of you, he's a very, very good horseman and a very good rider. What's that mean when you're getting those sort of plaudits from respected industry types like Darren Beedman, Josh?
I just got goosebumps as you said it, Jimmy. I wasn't aware of those comments yesterday, so that's the first I've heard of it. And it's a big feather in my cap, and I'm proud to hear that. As a young jockey starting out, Darren Beedman was at his absolute career peak. He was almost untouchable. Someone who I've looked up to for so long, and have so much respect for with his riding career. To hear him say that about me, I'm quite chuffed, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Dad was there too. I read in the newspaper today. Does he not get a chance to watch you as much as he would like, or you would like?
He doesn't miss a race that I go around in. But it was really nice to have him there yesterday on a nice occasion to ride four winners. He's been in the industry for such a long time, and I think it's a pretty proud moment for him to see his son competing in Sydney and doing well. I think he's just really enjoying the moment.
Yeah. Fantastic. Hey, Josh, well done yesterday. Four winners, a couple there for Godolphin as well, and some promising horses amongst that lot, as well as a bit of a veteran. It was a real mixed bag for you, but the wins are fantastic, and also appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, guys.
There he is, Josh. Thanks, Parr. Excellent day yesterday at Rose Hill Gardens.
Just a quick one, Jim, just to highlight how impressive News Fan was. She sprinted her last 600, 32.87, no horse broke, 33 all day, and her final two 200-metre sectional splits were under 11 seconds. That's first up off a long spell, so that was a dynamic return, and she's on her way to a pretty good race win this campaign, I think, News Fan.
Yeah, there you go, over that 1,200 metres in the AMWU handicap. So that was a great day for Josh Parr yesterday. Great day for James Cummings as well. And the Blue of Godolphin was featuring across states, and it was absolutely fantastic. He's been good enough to join us on the line this morning as well. Morning, James.
Morning, boys.
Congratulations. Let's start with the big win of Best of Days yesterday, and it sort of put an exclamation point on what had been an outstanding day up to that point.
Yeah, it had. It's all we really needed to top it off was a big Group 1 feature win, and he was just at his absolute best, that horse. he's just really proud of the team to have him there in such good order for his grand final.
Yeah, good morning, James. Congratulations. Great day for the stable. Osborne Balls, he was, I thought, also outstanding in that up the straight track there yesterday. What are your plans going forward with Osborne Balls now, James?
Look, he looks great this morning, and I'd say he tends to come through those runs really well. But we'll have a talk to the guys about where we go next. You know, the horse has not been overly taxed this campaign. He's only had his fourth run in yesterday. But as you know, I had him sort of going deep into the winter as well. You know, I had him up on the float as a chance to get a run as an emergency in the Stradbroke.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't quite claim a spot there. But on account of that, he didn't have long out. So if we do give him a break, we can concentrate on something maybe, you know, maybe the high-class handicap in the early parts of the autumn, or even wait for age at 6 furlongs now that he's you know, just starting to put himself out there on the world, you know, upper level, upper tier group sprinting. You know, he's become not only a Group 2 winner now after yesterday, but third placing in an Everest. Remember, is a Group 1 field.
Is a sort of
performance that makes you think it could be competitive in those big weight for age sprints.
I want to ask you about Osborne Bulls. Our punters club like him a lot because he's been good to us over the course of the last 12 months. But has he exceeded how much has he exceeded your expectations? Because he's just going from strength to strength, James.
Well, you know, what I see in Osborne Bulls is a trait I love to see in a horse, and that is that from a humble beginning, he can keep improving. He just cops the work that I pump into him. And you know what? He never misses a day in the gym. He's just always up and at them and feeling good and thriving on his work. You know, he's one of those horses I've got that he just loves his light training and he loves his racing. So he's had the ability to just keep getting better, and people have got to appreciate where these horses start. You know, he kicked off with a maiden win at Newcastle. I took him to Newcastle again in August last year, and he just narrowly claimed a Class 1. Then I took him to Gosford, and it was I mentioned in the talk in the room for the provincial trainer's title that the stable was able to claim last season. That was up there with my top three most exciting performances in the provincials all year. The Class 2 win at Gosford when Brenton Abdullah spotted Bjorn Baker's horse like 8 lengths in the home straight at Gosford and just thundered home to claim the win. You know, you just don't see horses do that. So to have come through those sorts of races and be sort of edging up and winning Saturday races in March, Rose Hill, and then winning his first black type event at Scone in the 1300. You know, they're somewhat humble origins for a horse to be getting through to that big stage yesterday on Derby Day and winning a time honoured race like the Lyn Lithgow does us all a tremendous amount of satisfaction and pride in a horse that just wants to go out there and find the line and be pointed at the winning post and let loose.
Yeah, he's a talent, isn't he? He certainly made a statement that day at Gosford. I remember that race when he circled the field. James, I think there were 2 3-year-olds that made statements yesterday. They're at varying degrees of their career. Rainier, a little bit more advanced. He won the Carbine Club. And we were talking about Roe here and earlier with Josh Parr. He was super impressive at Rose Hill. What are your plans going forward for Rainier and Roe here and James?
Oh, look, I'll have a talk to the guys, but I really like the idea of setting Rainier for the Australian Guineas match. I think he's the ideal horse. He's always running well at Flemington. You have to keep in mind that a little over 12 months ago, thundered home for a narrow second in the Maribyrnong trial. Great 2-year-old form. Sunlight finished third in the race, and he was able to savage the line at Flemington 3 starts ago in the 7 furlong race, running second to Wild Planet, and then again yesterday another strong race there at headquarters. So I think, you know, a guineas at Flemington would suit the horse, and it'd be a tremendous race to see the horse go to another level and be competitive. As for the horse at Rose Hill,
you know, I really like sort of flew back during the week to watch him work on on Wednesday morning actually, he's a classy horse. We just have to be sensitive with his body language and be attuned to whether the horse has had enough or not, because he's come a long way. I know we've been patient with the horse and he's only had two starts, but you know, he hasn't been completely problem free. But you know, he was a very, very impressive individual the moment we saddled him up. Always giving a great feel for all the feedback we get on all our horses. We stepped him out at a trial the day before Derby Day 12 months ago, and he was really nice in a barrier trial at Canterbury, winning a trial there as a precocious 2 year old. But we just had to be patient with Roheran, and now it's reaping dividends. Whether we consider maybe a summer sprint series in Queensland. I've got him nominated in the WA Guineas, but I don't think that it's quite ready for that. We'll just wait and see and be guided by Roheran, because he's a promising horse that we should be prepared to wait for.
Got to ask you, James, before we let you go, Avilius, drawn gate 11, in the market at $13. How are things? Are you as happy as you can be with the preparation of the horse?
Yeah, I'm really happy with that horse. He's just casual and thriving. He'll be right on Tuesdays. Had that plate there just to really bring him on.
Yep.
It was the lung burner he needed, and I think we're going to have him right to give him every chance of running up 2 miles and be perfect for the grand final.
Horse to beat, James?
On the cup, it's got to be Aidan's horse. I think Aidan and Lloyd have got the right horse there. Yucatan, he's a stayer down in the weight level weights with the Villiers, and he's got the turn of foot of a weight for age horse. He's the horse to beat.
Yeah, there you go. Interesting. James, congratulations. Brilliant day yesterday for the entire team, and I know it does impact the team, and you're at the head of it, and it was a fantastic day for you. Congratulations, and good luck on Tuesday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
James Cummings there, always good with his time. By the way, we've got someone here that said, look, when you got your tips from Jim McGrath, why don't you give us the numbers, you clown? So here we go. For the slow, I'll slow it down so you can write them down. 23, cross counter. 23. 9, Marmello. 9. 10, Avilius. 10. There we go. Now, call now if you'd like to. Sorry, Ray. Sometimes you've got to speak slowly, don't you? Call now if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. Call now if you'd like to be a part of it. Give us a call, 1353 53. Just a score update.
25-18 to you, James.
Yeah, exactly. And we're looking to finish that one off. And by the way, we're getting your brush with sporting fame. Didn't really want it done this way, but Dave from Miranda tells us Kevin Bloody Wilson came to footy training and gave out a couple of cassettes, just what every 14-year-old wanted in 1987. Absolutely outstanding.
Imagine taking that home to mum and dad.
Fantastic. Call now if you want to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz.
Be first with all the latest on this year's great race.
And the field is set.
The Big Sports Breakfast crew has moved into the Sky Racing marquee at Flemington Racecourse to keep an eye on everything that moves in the lead up to the Melbourne Cup.
Stand by.
You'll hear from the trainers, the jockeys, the callers, the tipsters. We're leaving no stone unturned in our quest for the best. The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30 a.m. Monday through Wednesday, live from Flemington on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One.
And they're racing in the Melbourne Cup.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
News
Zealand Bloodstock's Ready to Run sale has an unrivaled record of success. With 117 stakes wins and 17 Group 1 victories in the last five seasons alone, it's the most prolific source of winners in Australasia and Asia. Hundreds of two-year-olds are on offer, so don't miss the opportunity to bolster your stable. Join us at Karaka on the 21st and 22nd of November. Contact NZB now to request a catalogue or view online. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
If you've never witnessed real rodeo action live and up close, here's your chance. Raymond, listen up to this. Grab your partner, your family and your friends and head out Camden Way to K Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. I've been out to K Ranch Arena. It's Mick Carney's out there. It's unbelievable, mate.
They have
rodeo events just about every weekend, but this is one of the big ones. They've got a 10 days of action. They have entertainment at night. There's a big bar area set up there. There's a shop there. They've had a boxing bout in there. It's just the most incredible arena, just out past Mount Hunter near Camden. It's fantastic. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athletes. Our best cowboys take the roughest rides of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics, and a lot more. Thrill spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. The Big Sports Breakfast will be out there on Friday the 16th of November. The Big Sports Breakfast is going to be out there, TK and Loz. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au, and as I said, just near Mount Hunter, southwest of Sydney.
Is there a break on for Canberra? Jane looks for Malouzi, who gets in behind him. Malouzi wins the ball and wins the race, and Canberra United leads. It's a debut goal for Rhoda Malouzi. A wonderful finish.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Weren't able to play any Kevin Bloody Wilson highlights, so we went with the W League instead. So fair enough, we totally understand that. 13-53-53, we've got our two quiz. We haven't worked out who's one or two, Raymond.
You can open the batting, James.
Oh, that's right. That's your love affair with even numbers continues. Bohemian Rhapsody is in cinemas at Event Cinemas George Street now. Don't miss the foot-stomping celebration of Queen, their music and their extraordinary lead singer, Freddie Mercury. Watch it on the biggest screen in Sydney CBD. That's the VMAX with incredible Dolby Atmos sound. Get your tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Now that is one I want to go and see, got to say.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there,
James. A massive Queen and Freddie Mercury fan. All right. Player one is Rodney. G'day, Rodney.
Hi, James. How are you going?
James.
Oh, sorry. Big day on the planet today.
It's rubbing off, isn't it?
It is, Raymond. I blame you for this, Raymond. All right, Rodney. Let's go. Question one. What is the Australian men's test cricket team's current world ranking? What is the Australian men's test cricket team's current world ranking?
Six.
Yeah, rock solid. Rock solid, Rodney. Was that a guess or you knew it?
That was a guess.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
Have we ever been that low? Seriously?
In tests? Oh, I know we've been in the one. That's a good point, Raymond. We'll have to check that out. Question two. In which city is the Maracana Stadium? Maracana Stadium. Is it A, Buenos Aires, B, Rio de Janeiro, or C, Santiago?
Buenos Aires.
It's actually in Rio de Janeiro. There you go. That's okay. Stay with it. Question three. What is the shot called if you hit four strokes under par at a hole? Is it A, a condor, B, a swan, or C, a vulture? So we want, if you hit four under for the hole, so you've aced the par five. I'm just getting my head around this. You've aced the par five. It's a ridiculous question. Anyway, is it A, a condor, B, a swan, or C, a vulture?
We'll go a vulture.
It's not a vulture, it's a condor.
Have you ever heard of that before, Jim?
Never.
Heard of an albatross?
Yeah, that's right. I've got plenty of those hanging around my neck, Ray, but...
Learned something there.
There you go, a condor. A condor is the correct answer. Good on you, Rodney. Stay on the line. Over to you, Raymond.
James, who am I playing with? Because I cannot see the board.
David.
Is David there? David, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning,
David, we only need one to tie, two to win. So here we go. Best of luck. Question number one. What is the Australian men's rugby union team's current world ranking?
Seven.
Oh, well done, David. Spot on.
It's some of the best guessing in the history of this competition.
I'll ask the same question, Jim. Have we ever been that low?
Oh, I doubt that.
No. Anyway, here we go, David. This is for the game. Question number two. At which Test cricket ground could you bowl from the Radcliffe Road end? The Radcliffe Road end. Is it A, Headingley, B, the Oval, C, Trent Bridge?
I'm going to go A.
It's C at Trent Bridge.
Yeah, named
the
after
Radcliffe Road End.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter in the movies. It's just interesting.
Oh, yeah, no. Move on, James. Hey, here we go, David. Question number three.
You're the
smart. Exactly. In judo, David, in judo, the black belt is the highest. What colour is the second highest? A, is it yellow? B, dark blue? Or C, brown?
C.
And that's all she wrote. Well done, David. Congratulations. What's wrong, James?
Well, it just upset. Well done, David. Congratulations. David's from Tamworth, so the fix is in.
Oh, well done.
There we go, isn't it? Oh, well.
Yeah. I wasn't told that.
David, your surname's not Thomas, is it? But anyway.
Nah, I wish it was, but no, it's not.
Be careful what you wish for, Dave. Anyway. Good on you, mate.
Done, Dave.
Okay, so I'm just wondering where the nearest event cinema is to Tamworth.
Oh, mate, don't know.
All right, we might have a trip to the Big Smokes for you coming
we'll
up, Dave.
Any rain up home, David? Any rain up home?
Oh, not. We've had probably in the last sort of month, we've had quite a bit, actually, which has been really
good. That's good. Yeah, okay, I hope it's greened up a little bit. Oh, that's good news.
Certainly has.
Oh, right. Well, you two keep catching up, and you can do that. Off the
people on the land, Jim, it's important.
Good on you, Dave. Stay on the line. We'll get your details out. And the reason I was blowing up, Raymond, is I don't know why it is, but whenever you have a win in this competition, the production team outside in the producer's room seem to celebrate spontaneously.
So it means it's still game on for one more week. Is that
it's game on. Don't worry. I tell you what, the fix is in. The fix is in. Hey, we're taking a break. After the break, we've got a little tease to our mystery voice comp, all courtesy of the ATC. And Stewie Clark's going to update us on his thoughts. And the start to the local international series. Yeah, let's call it Summer of Cricket, right?
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
Australians are practical people, so what about a useful everyday diary for women full of essential health information that also saves lives? Now that's something. The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Buy one for yourself or someone you love and do something that does something. It's just $18.95 from newsagents, Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action. November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, Stewie Clark coming up very shortly to give us a preview of the internationals that start today over at Optus Stadium in Perth. By the way, it's got up here, Stewart Clark, tearaway fast bowler, so he must be writing his own bio too. But right now, we're going to give you a little tease, Raymond, to the Mystery Voice competition that we've got. Now, it's all courtesy of the ATC, and we've got four tickets to give away to the Grand View Room on Villiers Stakes Day. If you win today, if you guess the voice, you'll go in as your chance of one of six to win that. Now, here's a little tease, Raymond.
Day in, day out, as you practice hard every day and as you go through the trenches and play with injuries and do all those things that you do, that's how you win respect.
We'll get to that after 9 o'clock too. Right now we've got to talk some cricket. We heard about the South Africans, we just heard there, their disappointment in the Prime Minister's 11 game during the week. How are they going to play this summer? How's it going to play out for Australia? Let's find out from one of their best over the last few years is Stewart Clark. I think he's made me say that. Morning, Stuart.
You're still running the same jokes, aren't you?
But seriously, it's got up here on the phone, tear away fast bowler.
Same joke you've been run for 6 years, mate. You can get others, mate. There are plenty out there. But anyway, how are they going to go? Oh, mate, it's going to be hard work for Australia.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's sort of sitting back and going, oh, I think it's going to be a cakewalk. South Africa, obviously a very good team. Got some, you know, some world-class and some legends of the game. I think, well, Dale Steyn's still running around and Ammer and people like that, who are guys that are going to go down in history as some of the greats. And obviously we're under strength because we've got a few little we've got a few issues with whether it be indiscretions or injuries and things like that. And Mitchell Stark, whether he's fully fit or not, they say he is, but again, who knows?
Yeah, good morning, Stu. Thanks for joining us. It's extraordinary, isn't it? We're the reigning World Cup champions, but we've lost 16 of our last 18 one-dayers. There's so much negativity off the cricket field around Australian cricket at the moment. I think it's almost a relief for fans and the players themselves to see them get back on the pitch this afternoon, and hopefully they can produce some results.
Oh, that's a fair point, right? Because the guys, obviously the players, the moment they get a bit of quiet out in the middle of the field because they're actually doing what they love and they're playing the game. There's so many distractions around at the moment with whether it be reviews or, you know, suspensions or injuries or whatever it may be. They must get tired. I know they get tired of it. You know, but it is part of the gig. And, you know, when you take on being part of the Australian cricket team, you know that all comes with it or you get selected. But, you know, I think they're going back to what they're doing now. That's love, and that's the love of playing cricket. Hopefully they can get out and get a win. And as you know, in sport, it doesn't matter which sport it is, winning sort of changes everything and papers over some of the issues that are going on. And, you know, if Australia win games of cricket, we probably wouldn't be having these discussions.
Hey, Stewie, yeah, really interested to get your thoughts on this. It's been a tumultuous week for Cricket Australia. Ended up with the chairman resigning effectively, but really had pushed out of the job. And your position as a former player, and also now as a sports administrator, albeit with another sport, what was your take on the week that was for Cricket Australia?
Well, it was an ugly week. Well, it started probably, you know, I can't remember whether the vote to David Peaver to come back in for 3 years was this week or last week, but it was ugly because everyone knew what was in the report. It was going to be damning. There was no question about that. They had the vote. David got himself voted back in, and the board got themselves voted back in for 3 years. And then they sort of handed out the report. Now, there's some pretty smart people running around the world of state cricket and even Australian cricket that went, well, hang on, stop. It was almost like a, you know, I don't want to show what's in the report, put me back in and I'll fix it all.
Well,
under your leadership, and whether David Peaver's directly involved, I'm pretty sure he wasn't telling them to use sandpaper. But when you're the chairman of a large organisation, as Cricket Australia is, you've got to be held accountable. James, the CEO, well, he'd resigned, so it was an ugly sort of start when that happened. So guys are, you know, the guy gets voted back in on, you know, I'll fix it, but you were in charge when there was an issue. So things weren't going to end well from there. The rest of it's invisible. You've got enough people coming out. But I think the ring that's really killing it is the state of cricket, because we've got three blokes out. They're obviously world-class players. But there's no pipeline of players coming through. And back in the old days, you had people half on them. You had the Lehmans and the Bluets and the Matthew Elliotts, Matthew Haydens and the Jamie Siddons. And these guys were coming through. So even if you lost one or two players out of the Australian team, there were these plethora of guys coming through that were great players. At the moment, you're seeing guys that have played the odd game here, maybe got a 50 or, you know, got a few runs in some form of cricket, jettisoned right into the Australian cricket team.
Yeah.
And then when they don't do well, we sit there and go, why aren't they going any good?
Yeah.
because they've never played. So I think the groundswell from ex-players, me being one, and you know, I think every ex-player has basically come out and said, hang on a second, what the hell's going on here? Because we had a good system. It was working. We were producing good cricketers. And now that seems to be gone. So we've got a cultural issue both in an administration role, but also in a player talent role. And we don't know why, because we've gone to the system that hasn't appeared to work.
Well, Stu, just on that point then, how do you turn that around? Because it's going to take a while for that ship to turn around now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's if you think you're going to walk in, click your fingers and make it all good again, that ain't going to happen, because we need to go back to getting guys playing cricket, and that's good. You know, 2020 cricket's doing it. We then need to go back to getting guys playing hard, competitive cricket, and that's
Sheffield
great cricket.
Shield cricket.
Well, it probably starts before that, right? Because if you go to what's the standard of grade cricket, first grade cricket, that's facing the same problems, because guys get to 22, someone turns around and says, oh, well, you're too old now. They don't bother playing anymore.
Yeah.
The grade cricket's just a bunch of 20 and 21, 22-year-olds that are on the verge of being, or that are showing potential. And at 22, 23, when someone turns around and says, nah, you're too old now, they stop playing.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, oh, well, they're going to play 2020 cricket. Well, if you bat at six in 2020 cricket, you basically face three balls and maybe bowling over if you're lucky.
Yep.
Why are you going to give up 3.5 hours of your day to do that?
Yeah.
You want to bat at six, and you know, if you get 50, you get 50. No one said you've got to get 400. But you've got to get blokes playing the game again. You get them playing first grade. They then go and play. And if you say, look, it doesn't matter. It's not an age-based thing. If you're doing well, you're a chance to play at the next level. You pick guys that are, you pick them on form, not on age, to play Sheffield Shield cricket. The natural progression is, when they get to Australia, they'll be good enough to play. I think we worry way too much about what the Australian team's doing, rather than the development of players coming through.
Good point. Well, I'm as shocked as anyone. You're making sense this morning, so I mean, this is all good. Now, I know how much you love a punt, Stu. We've got the news, chasing.
Mate,
I know how much you love a punt.
Yeah, more over it.
Australia $1.60, South Africa $2.40. Have you got a high bat, maybe, for Australia?